Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 26th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. Happy to have you with me today on our journey through the book of Ruth. We are in the third chapter in the 12th verse. We'll jump into that in a moment. I want to give a heads up for my travels in June for those who are in the state of Missouri. We are coming back to the Midwest. I will be in Poplar Bluff, Missouri at Midland Church. This is where we pastored for over a decade. I'll be there on Friday night, June 21st at 7 p.m. Central Time. We'd love to have you come and see us. We try to make a trip back to Poplar Bluff once every 3 or 4 months. Sometimes we don't do quite that well. It's been several months. It'll probably be 6 months at least before, 6 or 7 months before, between these last two stops. So we're going to make a stop in there and have a good time on Friday evening, the 21st of June. And then we will go north on the 23rd, Sunday morning, June 23rd. We will be at the Living Word Church in Leesburg, Missouri. That's with Pastor Dan Morrison. Now, both of those addresses are on our website. 110 West Victor Street is Midland's address. Those of you who are in the Poplar Bluff area know all about that. And then Living Word Church is 19 Stuber Road in Leesburg, Missouri. You can visit their website, livingwordmo.com. That's Pastor Dan Morrison, great congregation there in Leesburg. We'll be there on the 23rd. Their service time is 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning. So my family and I, at least my wife and I for sure, be making that trip in, spend a few days with family, doing a few activities, and then spend those two services with our friends in ministry and partners, and hope to see many of you. We will be doing our monthly meeting in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Of course, we do every Tuesday night in Flowery Branch studying the book of John, but we'll do our monthly meeting on Sunday afternoon, June 30th, 5 o'clock Eastern time. June is an easy month for me as far as travel is concerned, and I'm not mad about that. My son starts his summer woodbat league in North Georgia, and I'm pretty excited to be around for a lot of it and just to enjoy the summer at home. We pick up the travel a little bit in July. I've got a couple of dates that I'm not ready to release because we're still in negotiations exactly how some things will fall, but I know for certain that we are going to be coming to South Carolina. That is on our website. I'll talk about it in a few weeks. We'll be there in the middle of July in South Carolina, and then we are also going back to Southern California, and we will be there the end of July, very first part of August, and so kind of an open summer. Like I say, there are a couple of dates we're working on to fill in the gaps here and there. And then it really gets cranking again in August and September. That's sort of typical for me the last few years for some reason. And also, update, people have been asking, we have got the first module for our subscription-based lessons. The first video module is edited and ready. We are in the process of figuring out exactly how we want to release it and how we want to move forward. But just an update, because people have been asking in my stops, that is coming. That is still happening. That has not been abandoned. It is just a process that takes a little while. Ruth chapter 3, verse 12, Boaz says, "It is true that I'm a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if it does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." And basically what's happening in this moment of this relationship between Boaz and Ruth is that Boaz has recognized the virtuous woman in verse 11. Everyone, he says, agrees that you're a virtuous woman. And so to sort of respond virtue to virtue, your virtue, my virtue meeting your virtue, let me be completely honest with you. I'm not your closest, the closest kinsman of your dead husband. And that's really what's happening here is he's trying to perform the law of levirate marriage. She's lost a husband and he is being faithful. Now, here's the issue, and I brought this up a little bit yesterday. We could argue as to whether or not he even needs to do this. She's a foreigner. However, having given herself over to Naomi and Naomi's God, it does seem right for Boaz to do what he's doing. But if you wanted to be a stickler, Boaz doesn't really have to be as honorable as he is being. He could just take Ruth. And I know that sounds terrible. That's because it sounds terrible because it is terrible. But that happens in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to say that God was endorsing it, but man certainly did it. He certainly acquiesced to power and his own lust and took that which was powerless. He did it often. Boaz refuses. Boaz is a cut above the rest. This story is a glimpse at how good it could be. And I think it once in a while, it's okay to really stop and reflect on how good things could be / should be. I was teaching a recent Tuesday night, and I got sidetracked on the beauty of Jesus and the wonder of this man. And I was in the passage from John 6 where Jesus has just fed the 5,000, and the crowd comes to him, bellies full. They're amazed at what they've just seen, and they try to make him king, and the text says that he steals away, basically. He doesn't want to be their king. Yet when you get 12 chapters later in John 18, he admits to being a king to Pilate. So there's this gap between him knowing it's not his time and then knowing it is his time. But there's also this gap between how they want to make him king in the natural and how he only wants to be king through the suffering of the cross and then the glory of the resurrection. And I got excited and sidetracked about that, talking about how this is a man unlike we've ever seen. Here is a man faced with power, faced with authority, and he turns it down because it's not the right time and it's not the right way. And I said, you don't see this kind of man walk the earth very often, if ever, that swallows ambition, that rejects power handed to him, that... One of the more impressive stories from our own American history, I remember when George Washington stepped down from the presidency after his second term. King George reportedly, when he heard about it, said, "I don't believe that. And if it be true that he voluntarily stepped down from being president of the United States, he's the greatest man to ever walk the earth." And the reason why I've remembered that statement is because here's a king who wouldn't dare step down from his monarchy and surrender power, looking across the pond, as they say, and seeing this attempt at a democratic republic and the leader of it handing the reins of power over to the next rightfully elected person. It's one of the great glories of the American governmental system is that every 4 years, whether we agree with the outcome or not, we hand the reins of power peacefully, not with bloodshed, but peacefully to the other party. And that's a pretty remarkable thing. And you could say that we do it now because constitutionally we don't have any other choice. But what if a man had the choice and still laid the power down? Wouldn't that be a man worth following? And I think that's Jesus. And I think in Ruth 3, it's Boaz. Now, he's not got a mantle of authority or power, but he does have all kinds of power over this girl. And she's already infatuated with him. And he doesn't need to go through all of this levirate marriage pretense. Nobody in Israel seems to care. As we're going to find when he does go find the nearer kinsman, he doesn't want her either. And so Boaz goes through the hoops, and it's as if he only wants her in the right way. He only wants her if he has done due diligence, she loves him, and he is the best choice for her. And I'm reminded of something I once heard I've tried to apply in my own relationship. View your spouse as if they are God's best gift for you. And I think that's what Boaz is doing. He wants to be the best possible gift for Ruth. And how can he be if there's any dishonesty in that redemption? He can't be the best possible choice for Ruth. We will move into the latter part of the third chapter on tomorrow's podcast. We'll see you then. God bless.